Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everyone. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to talk about generosity. Are you ready? Come on. Here we go. And listen, when we say that, I want you to understand something. There is a blessing that comes when we line up our finances with God's word. All right? And one of the things that I think is so important to understand is a lot of times we look at life and we think, well, here's our church world, here's my real world, here's my finances, here's my job. We compartmentalize, and what God is saying is he wants to be in all of it. All of it. And there's a blessing found when we line up our finances. I was looking at a stat this morning. It says 75% of Americans are stressed about money right now. So 75% of people, possibly in this room, you're stressed about your finances right now. And I want to tell you, the answer to breaking free from that is generosity. Is by lining your life up with God's word. And I want to tell you something. Another thing about this is that if you hear the word money and it's just, I want to challenge you, open your heart today. Because God wants to set you free in the area of your finances. Stress, anxiety, worry. Americans are so stressed about their finances, and there's another way as Christians that we don't have to be stressed. And listen, it begins with the heart. It's a heart issue. And so we want to dig into this. We're in this series of foundations right now. We talked about the power of dealing with conflict correctly a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks before that, we talked about loving God and loving people. We're talking about the foundations of who Hope City is and what we are. You see, we all are the church. It's not just Paula and I. It's not just a brand that we're building. Every one of us are the church. And so when we talk about our foundations, what we're talking about is what we all agree on that's important. So really dealing with conflict in a biblical manner, going to each other and talking it out. The power of forgiveness. Wasn't that good last week? Freedom is found when we forgive. Right? Freedom is found when we forgive, when we release the other people. Some people even ask me, well, that person's dead. I can't go to them. It has nothing to do with that other person. It has everything to do with you. And if you'll forgive, there'll be freedom in your life. Not living in offense. So you're going to get a chance to practice this today as we talk about your finances. Because some of you are offended because I said the word money. Some of you are like, man, here we go. They're always talking about money in church because you need God's blessing. The Bible talks about it 2,000 times. Do you get offended when the world talks to you about money? Because they're talking to you about money all the time. Open up your Facebook account. Open up your Facebook, and they're going to pick up on what you were just talking about on how to spend your money. They listen to you. How many of you know that? If you have Facebook, like you say something, and then it starts showing up. The world is talking to you about your money all the time. And the world's way of dealing with your finances brings stress, anxiety, worry. There's never enough. You're always working for more. It's literally a rabbit trail that you're running down. It's like literally you're a hamster rolling through. And I want to tell you something. If you will follow God's principles when it comes to money, you're going to find freedom. So this is not about Hope City needing your money, but it's about you needing God's blessing upon your finances. Generosity is one of our key principles. The church should not have any needs because people are willing to serve, they're willing to give their time, and they're willing to give their treasures. Okay? Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your time, your treasures, and your talent. Stewarding those well. Lining them up according to what God says. The church was built on people who will literally give of themselves their time and their treasure. That's how God created the church. You don't just come to church. It's not the best fast food restaurant in town that you just roll up here and you show up and then you leave. Okay? The church was created for all of us to use our time, our treasures, and our talents for the kingdom of God. We're built on generosity. God is very concerned about how you steward the financial resources he's given you. Some of you are like, oh, he's going to be talking about my money again today. It is not your money. That's the problem. You think it's yours, and it's God's. Everything he gives you It's his. And here's what I made it. I'm the one that worked all those hours. Who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the ability to use your mind to make income? God did. It's not yours. I heard a funny story. We had some friends work at the Chase Credit Card Center. And people would literally, on their credit cards, they would call up and say, "Why are you messing with my money? It's not your money." Right? It's the credit card company's money. So we have this idea of like, and I want to tell you something about credit cards. We use credit cards instead of trusting God. Because we don't have the income, so we put it on our credit. And listen, it becomes a literal noose around your neck. Paul and I are working through that right now. It's a noose. It's a trap. And this is the problem with the world's way of doing things. It's a trap. It's caused to bring stress and anxiety and worry. God is very concerned about how you steward those financial resources he's given you. Today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how we manage it and what we need to have in our mindset. I want to tell you a staggering fact. Listen to this for just a minute. You're going to love this. And some of you may not. Americans, we spend $167 billion a year on our pets. Last year, Americans gave $61 billion to the church. Priorities, friends. Right? We're talking about that. We're looking at our priorities and we're saying, God, what is my priorities in life? I want to line myself up, and there's nothing wrong with pets. So don't walk out of here going, "Oh, Pastor Jason's against pets." I'm not against pets. But I might be. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying is, if you're not careful, our priorities get so screwed up. And then we live under stress and worry. Some of you need to take a breath right now because your finances have literally been causing you to not be able to sleep at night. It's causing so much stress. And here's the bottom line. It is not about your money. It's about your heart. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." It is a heart posture. And here's, I'm going to take it one step further. And you're like, "Man, Pastor Jason," but here's the deal. We don't give because we don't trust God. If you really want to get down to the bottom brass tacks, you don't trust God. You don't trust him that he's going to take care of you. Maybe you grew up in a family where you were always struggling for your finances. And at the bottom line, the bottom of it, it's you don't trust him. Because if you trust him, then you're going to line yourself up with God's principles. You're going to say, "God, okay, what does your word say about finances?" Another thing about America is we don't teach people how to deal with their finances. And that's what this is simply about today. It's like literally coming along and saying, "Listen, I want to tell you what God's word has to say about how you deal with your finances." I always say, "Show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I can tell right where your heart is." Woo, it's getting hot. Okay, anyways. People can literally be controlled by their money or the lack of money or chasing after money. And here's the other thing that comes along with this. You try to control things. But do you realize that is a lie from the enemy? There's nothing you can control. If I work harder, that's why some of you are working almost 7 days a week. If I work harder, if I work smarter, all of the things the world says, how about we work and we literally partner with God and his favor and let him lead the way? How about we give him control of our finances? How about we say, "God, I'm going to let you take control. Generosity is going to control my life, not money." See, because money's not the issue. Money's not the issue, guys. It's a heart issue. Money is just the side effect of what's going on in our hearts. I tell you this, the more you chase after money and let it control your life, the more stressed, anxious, and worried and not content you are. You will never have enough. You'll spend your time chasing after something that will never bring you contentment. And I see that in people's lives. "Well, if I could just have this, if I could just make more money, or you know what? I'll tithe when I make more money." No, you won't. Because it gets harder. All of a sudden, you're like, "Whoa, God, you're asking for even more." It gets harder. This idea of obedient sacrifice and discipline, we've been talking about that, needs to be in your money too. We've got to be obedient with what God says. Here's the trap. If money controls you, it will also steal your time. You can always make more money. You can't make more time. Let me say it again. You can always make more money. You can't make more time. People that are running after money, which is an idol, Scripture tells us that. People that are running after money, they're so worried about their future or living in regret about their past that they don't live in the present. The only thing that you have control over is what's happening right now. What does the Bible say about your future? Don't worry. Say it with me. Don't worry about tomorrow. Some of you are sitting in this room and you're worried right now. Can I take it one step further? Is it okay if I'm just really honest? This is like the conversation you wish your dad had with you about finances that he never did. You're worried about your finances, and it's controlling you. Do you know that worry is a sin? Because what does it go back to? Who do you trust in? Some of you are exhausted because you thought you had to trust in yourself. Some of you are exhausted and you're sitting here and you're like, man, I thought I could do this on my own. You can't do it on your own. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care the size of muscles you have. You are not strong enough to do it on your own. Whew. And I love you so much that I'm going to tell you. Here's what the Bible says, and it's really quiet in here, Paula. You hear it? Woo! Either you're connected or you're mad. And if you're mad, you'll get over it, I promise. Matthew 6:33 says this, and we sing this, we talk about it, but do we do it? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Listen to this. I didn't hear it say, you go do everything you can because God helps those who help themselves, which is not in the Bible and is a complete lie. Just like, God will never give you more than you can handle. Oh, yes, he will. That's not in the Bible either. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And it doesn't have an apostrophe. Oh, not your finances, not your money. It says above, will you say the word all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Guys, that's the answer right there. That's the answer to freedom. That's the answer of finding God's way instead of the world's way. When God created the church, he expected his people to be generous in their time, their talent, and their treasure. Hope City should not have one lack of need for volunteers. You're all sitting here right now. There's 200 bodies here in this place right now. And it shouldn't be that 20% of people do all the work. It should be 80%. You need to find a place to serve. You need to find a place to use your talents. You need to find a place to say, God, I want to give all that I have. And the church is a great way to do that. Well, Pastor Jason, you know those mega churches. They just don't know. I mean, look at what they've done with their money. That is 1% of the church. 98% of churches around this country do so well with their finances. They do all they can to make sure that they reach their community. So don't buy the lie of the enemy, because he'll use every reason he can to get you to ignore God's word on giving so that you pay the price. Your time, your talent. We should have no trouble getting 50 trunks in here for trunk or treat. Do you know one lady lost her 2-year-old last year on Halloween? Guess what she's doing this year? She's doing a trunk to stick it to the enemy. I'm like, oh, I don't understand a trunk. All it is get your car out there and decorate it. There should be 50 trunks, no problem. Do you guys know the world is like raising? I mean, it is like literally there. The world is just like rising up. Where's the church? How about we rise up? How about we say, hey, not only will we have 50 trunks, we'll have 60 trunks. We're going to fill this parking lot. People that are saying, God, I want to be a part of your mission. And here's what I love about that. When we give and when we serve, we get to take a part in people's lives that are transformed. If you missed last week, we had 23 people baptized in one service. 23. And everyone that gives and everyone that serves, we all get to celebrate that together. It's because you made a way in your finances. God doesn't need your money, but we need his blessing. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about sowing and reaping, and I got to go fast because I've got just a couple minutes. John 4, 34 through 37. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of us must give as he's decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I love the word all. That means in every aspect of our lives. Listen, some of you are reaping what you sowed in an earlier part of your life. The idea of sowing and reaping means what you plant in the ground is the kind of harvest you're going to have when it comes to harvest season. Some of us, we put nothing in the ground and we expect a harvest to happen. I'm just shocked, God, that there's no harvest. If you're a farmer, do you think you're going to put a seed in the ground and never expect, like, if you don't put a seed in the ground and you don't plant in the spring, you're not going to have a crop in the fall. What you're experiencing right now, and I've talked about this a lot, I believe these next 3 months, if you will try God's principles when it comes and you start putting the seed in the ground, it's going to set you up for a 2026 that is incredible when it comes to your finances and what God wants to do. So we're talking about, what are we going to plant? What is God asking us to plant? Key number one, you have to plant in the field you are called to. If you call Hope City your church, you got to plant in this field. Put your seed in right here. That means your time, your talent, your treasures. Plant in the field you are called to. You got to plant here. I think America's problem is we have a weak church that hasn't been doing any planting. If you're called to Hope City, plant your seed here. The church does not exist if people are not willing to give and serve. Jesus set it up that way. A weak church is where no one wants to serve. No one wants to give. You just roll in and you experience a blessing and you roll out. This is not Walmart or Burger King. We don't do it your way. How about we do it our way and God's way and say together we're going to be an army that reaches this city. We're going to be an army that doesn't stand for suicide anymore. We're going to be an army that steps in the way of drug addicts and people that are turning their lives around. We're going to do this together. You're called to be not a consumer, but a contributor. If you want to see what a consumer looks like, go to Costco on a Saturday. That'll just drive you crazy. Like, I was there yesterday, and I so wanted to hit people with their heels with my cart, just like, get out of the way. Don't go there on a Saturday. Plant in the field that you're called to. I want to tell you this: you fund what you love. You fund what you love. Do you love Hope City? If you do, fund it. You fund what you love. Some of you, you love Dutch Brothers a lot and you fund them a lot. Others love McDonald's and you fund them a lot. I know it's getting, I'm telling you. When it comes, what's our seed when it comes to our finances? I want you to understand, God's promise of financial provision and blessing is for everyone in this room if you'll give and you'll practice kingdom generosity. So what's our seed look like? Malachi 8, 3 through 12. And some of you might go, well, that's Old Testament. Well, it's very close to the New Testament, and Jesus said this. After I read it, you're going to appreciate it. Jesus said, give all. Here's what Malachi says. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. I do not want to cheat God. Whew. Bring all, say that word, all the tithes. And tithes are 10% of your income into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And whenever you run, I want to tell you this. Whenever you run across L-O-R-D, capital like that, it means a God who keeps his promise. Do you know that? In the Greek, that's what it means. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insect and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, and your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Those are powerful words. The windows of heaven will open. What's a tithe? That's 10%. Where should it go? To your home church. Your seed is that 10%. God allows you to keep 90. I think you can do a lot with 90% and God's blessing versus if you kept 100%. And you might say, Pastor, okay, I'm just getting started. 10%'s a lot. Start out with 2. In fact, just say, God, what is it you want me to give? Ask him. Let him show you what it is that he wants you to give. Like I said, in the New Testament, he says, give him everything. Look at what 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, is you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. How many of you are cheerful right now that I'm talking about this? We all should be, because there's blessing that comes. So how do you get started? First of all, build a budget. If you don't control your money controls you. Yeah. Sit down and say, okay, how much am I spending every month? Sit down, figure out a budget, okay? Because like I said, if you don't control your money, it controls you. Some of you have no idea what's going on. I want to tell you this. Some of us are like, well, you know, if I just had more money, if you had more money, your finances would be more of a mess. So how about you get that budget set up so then God can bless you and say, okay, we're going to have a budget all of our lives, and that's what we're going to stick to. Obedience, sacrifice, and discipline. Sit down, get your budget figured out, and then be cheerful. When you give, there's cheerfulness that comes. God, thank you that I get to give. Thank you that we get to partner together. Thank you that you care about my money. Thank you that you're going to take care of all my needs. And I want to tell you something. God takes care of your needs, maybe not your wants. Well, God, I want a $10 million house. Well, don't we all? Maybe do we don't. That's a lot of upkeep and taxes. Here's what I'm asking and challenging you to do. Take your finances and your calendars to Jesus and ask him to guide and direct you. Literally open your checkbook up and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Keep in mind, the more generous you are with your treasures, time and talent, the more generous God will be with you. People ask me, do I tithe on my business? What kind of blessing do you want on the back end? Do I tithe pre-tax or post-tax? What kind of blessing do you want on the back end? What kind of harvest do you want to reap? Second of all, where does the seed come from? And this is what I love. The seed comes from God. He gives you the ability to give. 2 Corinthians tells us this, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Hello? Take a picture of that. Here's the problem. God will provide the seed, and if you turn around and you eat the seed every time you get it and don't plant it in the ground, you're never going to see a harvest. Some of us, we're eating our seed because we spend every dollar we get. Many people don't plant anything and they expect a harvest. It doesn't work that way. Take the seed that God's given you and begin to plant it. Another key that we see is key number 3, the importance of first fruits. I'm going there. Scripture tells us there's the importance of practicing first fruits. What does first fruits mean? It means that we give God the first and the best of our time, money, and talents. He doesn't get the last of it. Here's how this plays out in your finances in a practical way. Well, God, listen, I had to pay all my other bills, and there just isn't enough. How first fruit says, God, I pay my tithes first, and then you take care of the rest. That's an idea of how we trust him, first fruits. It's about putting God first in your life and seeking first the kingdom of God. Key number four, then we understand the reaping promise. I'll say it again, you can't reap a harvest if you don't plant the seed. When we read Malachi 3:10 through 11, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great that you don't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insect and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The only way, listen to me real close, the only way to unlock this promise is by giving. You can pray about it all day long. Am I saying God's not going to take care of you? I'm not saying that, but you're missing out on the blessing that there's even more that God wants to do in your finances. What I'm saying is, and you can be a Christian, and you can not put God to the test. You can be a Christian, and man, yeah, you're going to heaven, but you're missing out on the abundant life that God's promising. And if you're stressed about your finances, that's a sign. If anxiety and worry, and you're worried about tomorrow, some of you might be like, hey, I'm not struggling. My bank account's full. I'm in great shape. God must be blessing me. But what comes along with that filled bank account? Is it stress, worry, anxiety? Is it like everything you're thinking about is how you get more and how you get more? And if I only had this and if I only had that? Because when you're understanding the principle God's talking about here, you're not going to be stressed about it. God's going to take care of what you need. I talked to somebody the other day who said, Pastor Jason, I just don't believe in tithing. I said, why don't you try it for 3 months? Why don't you try it? He's like, okay, I will. 2 days later, he got a promotion at work that was not open to him and thought it was going to take months to get. Got another check 2 days after that. And I don't know how God's going to take care of you. Also, when I preached a sermon about this in Washington State with our church there, and a lady comes up to me and she calls me. She goes, I tithe for the very first time this week, and I got a bill for $30,000 from the hospital. How does that work? I thought you said God was going to take care of it. I go, you better just wait and see what he does. 2 days later, got a call from the hospital. That bill is completely wiped away. And I go, it's because you gave. It's because you stepped out. And listen, some of you, you're going to step out today and you're going to give it tithe. You're going to step out and you're going to trust him in your finances and you might get the biggest bill that you ever got. Do you realize even if you didn't step out, you're still going to get that bill? Now God's helping you get rid of it. You're not having to do it on your own. God's helping you. He's going to bless you. He makes your shoes last a little longer. He gives you tires on those cars. I mean, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll open the windows of heaven. So how do you start? Start by doing something. Start by saying, God, here's my checkbook. Here's my time. Here's my talent. I need to serve. I need to find a place. Do you have to? No, you'll get into heaven. You don't have to. But I'll tell you what. It's incredible when you get to partner with him. When you line yourself up and you're obedient. Because salvation is just the beginning. And if you'll line yourself up in God's ways, you're going to see a blessing that will blow your mind. If you'll plant that seed now, you're 2026, and you can take it to the bank. If that doesn't work, come talk to me. But I promise you, you're going to find out that it does. I've had 30 years of ministry. I've seen so much blessing in people's lives that step out and trust God. So how do you do it? You just start. Sign up for a trunk. In fact, here's what I felt like the Lord even told me today. We have our great exchange box. Some of you need to put some dollars in there to say, listen, I'm going to give it up right now. This is my sign that I'm giving this up and I'm trusting God in the area of my finances. I'm giving God what I have. It doesn't matter the amount. It matters the sacrifice. Some of you are so worried that if you do give, that you're not going to have enough. And I'm telling you right now, God will blow your mind. The only way to get the windows of heaven unlocked is to give. Generosity. That's what it is. You can pray about it all day long. You can sit there and try to figure it out on your own, or you can line up with God and say, God, I give you this. And I'm going to tell you something. When you can go back to the enemy and remind him that you did what God told you to do, the stress lifts off your shoulders.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.